This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
You never could have heard that story in 1986 or something, you know? 2019 thing. It grew up.
It did.
What's up, Rick?
What's up, man? Hip Hop Grew Up number 18, we're back in effect. How you doing?
Thanks to all the listeners. At this point, you paid to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
We respect that. We respect that.
Shout out to our Yak subscribers.
Welcome to the Yak.com. Once again, Hip Hop Grew Up.
Shout out to our many Yak programming. That's all, you know, covers a variety of different topics. I don't know. Check them out.
Yeah, thanks for listening. So, it's the end of the school year.
Yes.
How's that feel, school teacher?
It's great, considering it being my last school, like, you know, time, at least for a while, time in the classroom. So, yes, it feels great. And then I think for every teacher, oh my gosh, man, it feels amazing.
We both left the same semester. I'm trying to stay connected. My first class is now the senior class.
Your first class when you first started teaching, which were seventh graders, are now
senior class, mostly in Maynard ISD, Maynard Early College, New Tech, and Maynard Senior High.
They're going to be graduating in a couple of weeks, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I got a chance to go and see the ninth and tenth grade classes and speak at an academic awards ceremony they had with, you know, the choir performing and, you know, the symphony, you know, the students killing it, the orchestra.
Shout out to the fine arts department.
The orchestra and all of that. So that that was lovely. It just, we both end up leaving the classroom for now in the same semester.
Man.
When once upon a time we met up at Waffle House and both were trying to get qualified to teach in the same summer without ever discussing it beforehand. You remember that?
That's some educational fate right
there.
What
are the odds of all that?
I don't know. It's pretty weird.
Right.
It was some Hip Hop Grew Up stuff, because I know we were, you know, doing our thing in music for a while. We wanted to figure out ways to reach out to our community and better it. And so a lot of times education is a way a lot of people turn to try to do that. And that's what we both did without, you know, planning it out or anything. It just kind of happened. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right. And now we come out at that's crazy.
It's very crazy.
Went in at the same time.
And we left at the same time. But hey, I'm still in education. You're still in education.
Oh, yeah.
The fight is not over.
Education is way more important than school.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean to you?
I think what you're saying is that that's a quote from, is it Horace Mann? No. Samuel Clemens?
No, that's in my book.
I'm pretty sure someone else said that or something like that. I'm pretty sure
I'm sure somebody said something like that. But it's more important than school, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Maybe that was a Bobo Blake's quote, and I'm confusing it with a great. I'm sorry.
So, that happens a lot.
Yeah, it does for me.
It grew up, man. So, that's crazy to me that we both are in that out of school, after school, other than school place.
Yes, but back to your quote, what you're saying, that education is more important than school. Yeah, a lot of times you're at school and you're wondering, like, man, are these kids getting the education they need? Do we need to change some things? You know?
Right, right.
I always ask myself that time, am I good at this? Do I suck? What I gotta do? You know?
How relevant?
I always try to be reflective and try to ask.
Yeah, and ultimately, how relevant is the curriculum and how relevant is the teaching style?
Correct.
Yep. Those things come back over and over and over again when you're talking in the interest of children.
All day.
Those are just questions that are in your face if you're thinking about children.
Yeah, man. So how, what are they going to do when the classroom is going to apply to real life? And a lot of times you don't learn that, you know, in U.S. history class. You know what I'm saying? So,
And before we go any further.
Yes.
We have a legendary family member on Austin, Texas's own, the Yak.com's own Hip Hop Grew Up. A great friend of mine was at my wedding. was on every mixtape I put out that was a for real mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Blazing Saddles, Wood Grain Collection. We've worked together with you
musician.
Over the years.
Local musician.
And he is here in the flesh.
Yeah.
And he's willing to talk about how he's transitioned into the role of a full-time entrepreneur in the food business.
Awesome. Let's talk about it. What's up, DOS?
What's up? What's up? Thank you, guys.
DOS.
I appreciate you fellas for having me, for real, and allow me to speak on your platform.
DOS, you're like the embodiment of what we kind of do here. So hip-hop grew up. Explain what hip-hop grew up. But we always like the way you explain it.
Well, first of all, what do the four words and 12 letters hip-hop grew up mean to you?
Hip-hop grew up. So, you know, what that means to me is basically, you know, we all got to start from someplace. So, such as like, you know, the natural, your natural life.
Hmm.
You know, you start as a fetus and then you eventually you grow into, you know, your adolescence and then, you know, you become a full-on adult. It's the same thing, you know, with hip-hop when you actually live this lifestyle.
Hmm.
Not just, you know, do or take part in maybe one particular, you know, subgenre of it. But when you actually live hip-hop, you know, you're good. It's a natural process for you to grow with it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, you know, you start off with learning how to rhyme or learning how to DJ or learning how to, you know, spin on your head or do whatever it is, the element that draws you to hip hop. And then, you know, when you first start, you may not be the best at it, but it's you're inspired.
Mm-hmm.
You're inspired by, you know, whatever you're inspired by. And then you just grow with hip hop. And then eventually, you know, life doesn't stop happening. So naturally, you know, we get to live long enough. We get the girl. We have the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we become family men, and then we draw on those new experiences. And but we can't leave hip hop alone because it's a part of who we are. We actually live the lifestyle. We just make adjustments. And
do you hear this, Rick?
Learn how
I'm
to
listening.
Bring it. Yeah, learn how to
continue,
bring it.
Please.
And just learn how to bring it into our lives and make it fit in, because you know that it's not going anywhere when it's in you.
Hmm.
So
that's it.
You know, yeah, that's what.
Very
it is.
Well described.
That's it.
Yeah.
So now that we're all in harmony, we were on the subject of education. You recall?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And the question was, like, one question that we were talking about was, how do we make it, you know, is it relevant enough? Is it
yeah.
relevant? And you had more to say about it.
Yeah, like, I think is, what are we doing in the classroom that when you are an adult, how is that going to put money in your pocket?
Mm-hmm.
I think we kind of seen parts of it in Killer Mike's docuseries, right, where he's talking about, all right, so what is your trade if you go to, like, a elementary classroom, right? So something along the lines of that is like, hey, what skills am I learning that's going to help me when I'm an adult to find something to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think DOS is like the embodiment of that, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think, you know, what you do at a restaurant, did you learn any of those skills like in the public school system?
No, not at all. You know, in fact, I really don't have any formal culinary training.
Okay.
Really.
Wow.
You know.
So how'd you figure this whole game out? First of all, tell us what you like the albums you put out to like the food you put out.
Well, so
everything you produced.
Hmm.
Well, so Bavu knows that he saw me in my early stages of you know, MC. In fact,
we all met at the same time.
It's a funny
turn of the century.
It's a funny thing. I always credit you with teaching me how to hold the mic proper.
Nice.
Because at the time when I met Bavu, I was a youngster. I was a teenager. And we were getting out there, you know, and we were going to little spots trying to rap and, you know, do our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I come across Bavu and T-Double.
Mm-hmm.
shout out to T Double. And
what up,
it
T?
Remember the when he used to do the weekly at Stubbs back in the day?
Illmatic, Newmatic.
Yeah, me and the boy MC, we went up there one night and we were freestyling up there. Mm-hmm. And I remember you telling me, you came on the stage when I was rhyming because I was getting off, but I wasn't holding the mic right.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you came on the stage and you grabbed the mic while I was rhyming and held it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard my voice projection
and
I was like, oh shit, that's how you hold the mic.
I dubbed you.
yeah. So
professional development.
Gave you the light.
You know how many more MCs I did that shit
PD?
For?
Yeah.
Like after that,
listen to you now.
No doubt. But yeah,
that's the turn of the century. I was a rap superhero at the turn of the century.
Yeah, he was.
Man, that's a cool story.
Yeah, man, that's facts though. And so you
took
know,
me back.
You know, hip hop has always been a part of my upbringing, you know, and my brother, you know, a lot of the older cats remember him, but he was even younger than me, but he was a very nice MC. He put it down like whenever, you know, he left high school and went to college.
Okay.
And now he's a super duper scholar. He just got his PhD from Duke.
Nice. Scholar MC.
Yeah, but my brother was really nice, just natural gift. And, you know, he used to do some battles and stuff like that, so a lot of cats remember him.
Rhyming with Element 7D.
That's right. Yeah, that's facts.
Okay. Dion.
They had the group Ballistics.
My brother.
Yep. So, yeah, and then so from there, you know, you remember I used to rhyme with the Alliance. There was a group of us, and we were all... artist that worked with Gage Inc., Cyrus at the time, you know, Circular Records. It was actually one of the only independent labels, you know, little record labels in Austin at the time.
Okay.
And, yep, and they were out of, what was the studio called back then? Living Room Studios.
Yeah, Creating Hustle.
Yep, Creating Hustle. And you know, here's another story that ties me back to Bobby early days.
What is it?
So I used to record at Living Room Studios with Gage Inc. And that's how I kind of learned and got my first experience in the studio. And I would go up there so much that, you know, sometimes I'd be that fly on the wall, or I'd be that guy just kind of just peeping back, sitting back on his sessions when he'd be engineering sessions. And I pretty much, I can recall that I was on right there at least three sessions of the, you doing Creating Hustle. So I got to actually see Bavu record pieces of his first album. And I was just a kid, and I would just hang out and just peep stuff. And, you know, a lot of stuff that I learned about the recording process came from stuff like that. We're just watching.
Beautiful.
You know, and then I started recording my own music and doing my thing. And started getting some momentum like around 2001. And then I met Old Dominion, the Old Dominion guys, you know, from Seattle and Portland. And they are a historical hip hop group from the Pacific Northwest region of the United States.
Okay.
And these guys would come down here and do shows. And we would end up on the same bill with them because at the time I was with a large group. So they would always put us together whenever they would come down on their tours and stuff. And so I pretty much became, you know, acquainted with them. And one of the members, Smoke, ended up moving down here for a brief time. And we became friends. And when, right before he went back to Pacific Northwest, he told me...
Did he meet a girl when he moved down here?
You already know.
The Austin is the capital of musicians' girlfriends.
He knows her then.
Yes, he
does. Austin is the capital of musicians' girlfriends. Anyway, continue your story.
Yep. So, that's
am I right, funny, yo. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you know her.
You are so right.
Oh, keep going.
But yeah, so...
you got to write it down. Hold on.
I'm gonna text it to you.
Word. So yeah, man. So I ended up going out to the Pacific Northwest. You know, around that time, because Smoke, the artist from Old Dominion, he was a producer with them, and he had told me, yo, he was like, I feel like you're really talented. He said, but at the time, man, mm-hmm. to keep it 100, like Austin, the production here was kind of lacking at the time. Okay. It wasn't like,
yeah, I understand
other parts of the country, you know.
You had to have like keyboards and stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, exactly, exactly. Yeah, this is before MySpace. This is before, you know, the social media thing. You know, this is before all of that. But yeah, so I went out there to work with some producers, and I ended up, yeah, facts, dial up, LimeWire. This is LimeWire days.
You remember that name?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Take, you needed a CD to get on the internet.
Take 2 hours to download one song on LimeWire.
Oh my god!
This is those days, Napster. You know,
Audio Galaxy was the truth back then.
Folks still had crates a little bit, but the end of that era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then at that point, that's when I recorded my first full length album. That was Monsters Ball.
Yes.
You know, and I did that, and then I recorded that out there, and. Eventually came back to Texas and packaged it up, okay. And we were hustling it. That I remember that is right around the time when I met you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys were linked up,
mm-hmm.
and then and then y'all linked up with Gerald G, who mm-hmm. I'd known since back in the day, and Black Meezy, who I also knew since back in the day.
What to do, family?
We're all the same age.
Did y'all go to school together?
Yes, mm-hmm. I went to school with both of them actually.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what schools did you go to with them?
Oh, man. I went to McCallum, and I went to Garza.
Okay.
With Gerald G.
Okay.
Yep. And so, yeah, man.
So, you knew your music thing?
Yeah, y'all had that What It Do fam going on during that time,
mm-hmm.
you know? And from there, I started, I just stayed with the music. And then the second project that came, followed after that, was the project The Overdose that I did.
Yes.
You know, we had Devin the Dude on that joint. Bavu was on that album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that song the other day.
Yeah.
Damn. I remember The Overdose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we put that project out. In between there was Blazing Saddles and...
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the studio on Chestnut day.
Yeah, that was on Chestnut. Right there on Chestnut.
Yeah.
Right exactly. In the heart of the East Side.
It's probably like a four-story... Like mega condo there now or something. Yeah. But yes, I remember that.
Turn
yeah.
of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Propelled us into
that. I paid $750 rent for a 2-1.
Wow.
With that whole studio garage.
Wow.
$750 a month. For that whole house.
That's crazy to even think about right now.
That's how old I am. You know how everyone's posting like, I'm this old. I used to pay $750 a rent on 12th and Chestnut.
Wow.
Right.
That's wow.
That's so, damn, I'm posing that. All right, anyway.
So, you got an education, grew up in Austin,
mm-hmm.
were successful getting your music out, traveling, mm-hmm. multiple releases, you know,
right.
a lot of appeal, a mm-hmm. lot of relationships built. Where does it go from there in terms of that hip hop grew up story for you?
Okay.
Well, in 2009 or 2008, my son was born. And then mm-hmm. in 2009, my daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's like real grown up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
That explains.
I had my kids back to back.
Hip hop plus grow up equals hip hop grew up. Okay,
let me tell you. All three of us have elementary age children right now.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
But you were saying,
yeah. So my son and my daughter came, and you know, and then I got married. And I went and sat down.
That's all of us did.
But you know what, though? Even during that time.
It grew up.
I wasn't making studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still busy doing music still because I was doing lots of shows with D-Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to D-Madness.
Shout out to D-Madness. My boy. Musical genius.
Turn of the century.
He kept me working during that time, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, because I probably would have sat all the way down.
Okay.
But D Madness, I mean, every chance he got, he was putting me on something. So I was performing a lot, but I wasn't doing any studio work. So, I mean, I'm thankful for that because I feel like that's how I was able to still stay sharp, you know.
Nice.
you know, with the rhyming and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's different there's different kind of growth for an MC that I've noticed over the years. And some of it is studio mm-hmm. growth, and some of it is live performance growth. Right. So it's cool that you kind of do both. You know?
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Well, and also another thing is back in the day when y'all had Hip Hop Hump Day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of my
Wednesday
first
nights
stage experience.
Turn yeah. of the century.
Man, that, and you know, and I feel bad for
21st century.
I actually feel bad for the newer generation because they don't have anything like that. They don't, that's some, hey, you had to be there type shit, man. Like, it was a wonderful time in Austin hip hop during that time, man. And like, you know, it was before the camera phones. People wasn't doing the shit clout chasing or doing it for the clout. It that really was
like real organic.
It was so dope, man.
It was real organic. It had good management. It had a good team. The sound man was awesome. The performers were obviously Babu and like great musicians,
yeah.
great performers, mm. great DJs. The sound was on point. The venue was fire. The dude organized. Who's the name of the dude who took care of that?
Mark Collins,
Sheldon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sheldon. Like Sheldon. Whoever.
Oh, the Mercury. Mark Collins.
Mm-hmm. Just the entire everything. The whole management was out. The whole team was great.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
They pulled out a great product. The flyers were great. Mm-hmm. And is Austin capable of doing something like that again?
Nah,
it's just really,
capable.
It was for that time. It's
yeah,
it's celebrity history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. you had to be there. But you guys used to let me shine. Cool. You know, on the mic.
Yeah.
During those joints, and that's was some of my first stage experience.
Yeah.
So I was more comfortable ready. With live band mm. than other rappers were
right.
because that's where I started.
Gives you a different agility.
Yeah, it does. It does. It really does.
You got to be on point.
Yeah, you got to know where you are in space. You know,
right, right. But you can use the space.
Yeah,
for pretty much whatever you want.
You can bend the mm-hmm. land.
No doubt.
It's more than same an MP3 like or that. CD.
Right. And you had that experience from a DJ angle.
Yes.
As far as the difference between, you know, recorded and live.
Oh, man. Recording and live, yes. And then just learning how to be helpful with both, you know?
Because mm-hmm.
you, being DJ, you don't want to fuck it up, you know? You don't want to mess things up. So you just want to be like,
yeah.
this song work? This song, all y'all like that? Okay, this. And then just like same thing with recording. This sound cool. What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Should we copy and paste that over here? Some of the MCs like that.
Mm.
So yes, exactly. Trying to be helpful and grow at both.
Right.
Making sure that it sounds good at the end product
mm-hmm.
from doing both of those things. That's why a lot of DJs are producers and or get involved in sound because you just kind of does it sound good.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, that's the final result for all of those categories, right? Whether
right.
you're like a mixing engineer, DJ, producer,
mm-hmm.
techno DJ, is like, this sound good? Okay. Then we're all doing the same job.
Mm-hmm. Or,
Anyway, so yeah, that was a weird tangent we took.
I thought it made a lot of sense, man.
Okay.
Because same job, right?
Uh-huh.
After all that success in music, how do you end up at this point? Because we haven't even gone into this yet, but...
No, we just talked about
what you're doing now. Like
musically hip-hop-y.
Like I tell my students, I tell them, you can get a job, but can you give a job?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a flip for them. And intentionally, I'm glad it works. And now what you're doing
mm-hmm.
is a whole different product.
Right. But it's the same. It's still the hip-hop spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So
explain.
Basically, you know.
Hold on. What I'm talking about is the slice, which is easy to find.
The slice.
D-A slice.
Look it up, y'all. It's an awesome pizza company that my boy owns.
Do you
chicken and waffle pizza?
It's
pizza,
amazing. That's
and
the
now
one.
Just all around like multi. You know, just catering in general, just food, right?
Yeah.
From an artist to the slice.
No doubt.
What happened?
All right. So, during my hiatus with recording music, I squared up and got me a job, you know, because I had kids and a family. So, I wanted to go work at Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, I worked at Apple for 5 years.
That's a great company, by the way.
It is. You know what?
And pretty successful.
And you know what? I just want to say shout out to them because they did treat me good. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. And Apple was a good experience. And especially at the time when I came in over there, everybody that I worked with had a degree.
Right.
You know, and I was one of the only guys that did not have a degree.
Than school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you must have really impressed them.
I guess. But they gave me the job.
You must be really good at what you do, all of you both.
And, you know, I had some computer background, computer experience, you know, and kind of natural with computers as well.
There you go.
But, so, yeah, you know, I was good at what I did, but, you know, I just was thankful for the opportunity at the time with Apple because it was kind of one of those things where I thought maybe I was reaching by even, you know, trying to get a job there because I knew I didn't have a degree and everything else said degree required or whatever. So,
but I remember when you were even younger, you worked at Kinko's.
That's true.
And at the time, that was the most coffee shop, makerspace, tech thing there was. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You get to know where everything's happening. It's people making flyers and stuff. Hey, exactly. Where's the party at? Yeah.
You know, feel me?
What's interesting, man?
So you came from a different era on the same tip.
Very true.
You know, you had a little bit of OG status.
It was the background of the
exactly. It was all of that. It was that's all it was. Kinko. That's all you had.
Did you work at the one downtown too?
Nah, it was on Burnett Road actually. It was
okay,
on the
okay.
North side.
Good enough.
Mm-hmm. But with that said, you move up to Apple,
mm-hmm.
the new version.
Yeah, Apple,
and they're good to you.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Apple's good. I'm working from home and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I get to be with my baby.
Beautiful.
You know, and so
the Austin dream job.
Yeah, well, you know what though, it's funny because you know, we always got to be in a state of growth. Mm-hmm. Like you say, getting mm-hmm. back to the topic of hip hop grow, how hip hop mm-hmm. grows. You know, the thing is after a while, I did get burnt out. You know, and I started feeling like, man, there's got to be another level. There's got to mm-hmm. be more to this because you know, I started feeling like. At a point, maybe there was only a cap off of, you know, how I could advance in a company like even Apple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel like my the possibilities were endless. I felt like I could see, okay, I can get here and
glass ceiling.
Yeah, that didn't feel good to me, and so I started thinking of. Man, I just started getting tired and I started thinking mm-hmm. of something else to do. Okay. And I didn't know what that was going to be at all. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is like, you know, being a parent, I'm constantly making food, you know, mm-hmm. cooking for my kids. And one of the things that they always enjoyed that I made for them was pizzas.
Okay.
And so I would always make them homemade pizzas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this particular day that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm at home. And my kids, they want me to make pizzas for them.
Okay.
And I'm outside.
And pizzas like from scratch pizzas?
Well, yeah. So honestly, during that time, what I was doing was I would go ahead and I would buy the crust.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I would make the crust from scratch.
Okay.
But I wasn't making my own sauce at the
time. So you were being like Prego, Ragu or something?
Yeah, for the sauce or whatever. And then just buying the cheese and putting the cheese toppings on there and stuff like that. You
okay,
know?
So semi from scratch, but all right.
I'm But my kids are still
for his kids.
But my, yeah, but
I'm
my
just
kids
trying to say because the way I make pizza is, I cut a piece of plastic and I turn the oven on and I slide that thing in. But
yeah,
but you're making from so scratch.
Well, that's just
the only thing you're not making is the sauce. Okay, but
no. Not that was back then. Currently, I do everything from scratch.
No, I know. No, but just like let's go back.
Yeah, so back then, yeah, I wasn't making my own sauce or anything like that. I was just my kids would be impressed because I'd make the crust from scratch. Okay,
gotcha.
So on this particular day, I go outside and my neighbor next door, he's out there. And, you know, we just shooting the shit. And he's like, yeah, man, you know, I'm telling him,
uh-huh.
yeah, I got to go because I got to go to the store. I got to go get some ingredients for my kids. They want to, you know, they want me to make pizzas for them.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, yeah. He was like, you make pizza? And I was like, well, you know, just for my kids.
The neighbor. So, yeah. I love this story already.
Yeah. Keep so going. he's like, well, man, he was like, I make pizza, too. You know, he was like, I cook. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I cook, too. You know, it's, you know, all the time. It's just more of a hobby, but, you know, that's my thing. And he's like, yeah, me, too.
Okay.
And he was like, well, you mind if he was like, if you go, he said, how do you make your sauce? And I was like, man, I don't make my own sauce.
No, okay.
And he's like, well, I make sauce.
I'm like, oh, that's dope. So was dope. He a chef or what was his neighbor? What
man, he just like me, just like
another hobby.
A foodie chef, you know, so like self-taught. So, like, and he's incredible too.
And so you just like interacted with a member from your community.
He was right next door to me.
You exchanged some ideas. You said, oh no, okay, we both make pizzas. You found some common ground.
Right.
He's and like, he asked you all the way, how do you make your sauce?
Right. And I'm like, I tell him I make my own crust. He doesn't make the crust. He's telling me, you know, so he's like, man, hey, what if we collab on a pizza? Would that be cool? You know, he was like, I don't want to intrude or anything. I was like, nah, you know what? Actually, that sounds cool.
Politely asked you.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. So, you know, we went and got the ingredients and everything like that. And he showed me how he made his sauce from scratch, you know.
How do you make it? Like just tomatoes, everything?
All straight up Roma tomatoes. You got to, man, but like this dude's style was so meticulous. He fillets them with a knife. He fillets the skin.
It sounds off of like a
Roma tomatoes with a knife, which I thought
Scorsese that, movie.
I thought that was the way you do the shit. So I would always do that, but I don't do it that way anymore. I found a more efficient way to do that shit.
Okay. What's the better way to skin a Roma tomato?
Get a pot of water.
Okay.
Heat it on the stove. And then you put the tomatoes, however many tomatoes you need to make your sauce.
Okay.
And what you want to do is before you put them in the boiling water, you just create slits on the bottom of them. Mm-hmm. Take a knife and put a slight slit in it, and then just put them in the water on the stove and in the boiling water. Okay. And just let them in there for like 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then get a bowl and fill it with cold water and put some ice cubes in there, and then take them out from the boiling water into the cold water and let them sit there for like 1 minute, and they'll peel right off. Mm-hmm. It'll fillet right off.
What, trade lessons. Secrets. Right.
Straight up.
So jewels. He made the sauce from scratch. He used Roma tomatoes. He was so meticulous with it. And so, you made the awesome crust.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep going.
And then you started trying to film a TV show, and you did film like 2 seasons of a TV show called The Slice, because I appeared on it.
Yes. And, oh, man. And I just watched it.
I watched it, and it never came out.
It was a TV show? 2 seasons?
It was supposed to be a web series.
But with video and everything.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a web series. So and he's right. Look, we shot 10 episodes. It was
like a sitcom or something.
Before launching the pizza brand. Well, like, that's some serious branding.
Oh, it was some inspirational. Ill shit. It was some ill shit because basically
you were ahead of your time
from the very first.
Like, The Slice gonna make it some way, man.
But you know, I got a shout out. Oh, I got a shout
that was
out.
Smart. Jet. That was forward thinking.
I got a shout out, Jet Black, because Black. And that's the guy who was next door to me making the pizzas with me.
Yeah, Jet Black. So, that was magical. That story.
The very first time that we're making this pizza.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
We came up with this idea. To do this, because he's a comedian by trade, right?
Mm.
And, you know, I'm a rapper by trade. So, you know, the thing is, you know, we wanted to invite comedians on and hip-hop artists. And the whole thing was, during the B-roll, all we would talk about was hip-hop and comedy.
Okay.
We would, like, all our conversations would be like, you know, talking about our favorite comedians. Mm-hmm. Or we would have talks about, like, the difference between, like, black urban comedians versus, like, white comedians.
So, yeah, topics like that. And stuff. Kind of like, okay.
And so we shoot a lot of B-roll of that, and then we'd be making the food, right?
Oh.
And
then
our artist guests would show up.
In the back house.
Our artist guests would show up. I'd have them knock on the door, like, right when we're pulling the pizza out. You know what I'm saying? And we would get that and make it, you know, just kind of like Rap City, The Basement, how they would have the guests show up. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was The Slice. And they come in, and then we get a lot of B-roll footage, because it would be real live chilling.
Okay.
You know, everybody's chilling. I always had the drinks, everything.
There's a hip hop element to the whole. There's already a story to your pizza.
Oh, absolutely.
Business. All right, keep going.
And then we go out in the back after everybody's full and fed and has some drinks, and then we go in the back and we do mic up and do live interviews.
Beautiful, bro.
You know, taped interviews and you know, some classic interviews, and just so everybody knows, I have all of that footage still. The issue I ran into was we had so much footage.
Coming soon.
Yo, I'm telling you, we had so much footage. I couldn't find anybody that would edit that shit, you know? Like, for real, if anybody's up for the task, though, just let me know. I got all the footage. But, and in fact, Bavu, I just because it was so good, I watched our interview, like, literally a couple weeks ago. Sometimes I just pull it up and watch it. And it's great. Like
Thursday.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope. But yeah, so that's where we started, and that's what our intention was. There was never an intention to sell pizza. There was never an intention to make a business out of this. In fact, my boy Jet was a traveling comedian, and that's where his love was. And after a few months, he was like, yo, he was like, I don't want to keep making pizzas, you know what I'm saying? I want to go, you know, film my comedy shit. And he likes to travel across the U.S. with that. And so he bounced. He left Austin.
Okay.
And
to go pursue his comic career.
Yeah, yeah. And so there was never an intention to sell pizza. So what's funny is I used to post pictures on social media whenever we would shoot these web series at my house. I'll post the pictures on social media. And
so that came out for sure, but just not the series.
Well, yeah, well, people would see the pictures of the pizzas and stuff like that, and they'd be like, yo, you know, how do we get, I don't rap, I'm not a comedian, how do we get those pizzas, though? You know, like, how do, you won't invite us, you know? And,
yeah.
Hold on.
Careful.
Right quick.
Mike fell apart. I mean, his headphones fell apart.
Pardon me, y'all. Yep,
I'm back. So it was by accident that you just like kind of were just posting for the web series, and they're like, yo, how much are them pizzas?
Right. And so, no, that's facts. And,
right.
So yeah. And, I was like, damn, well, so what we would do is we wouldn't just do traditional pizzas. We would try to come up with the craziest type of pizzas we could do. Like, I remember we did a salmon pizza one time. It was crazy.
Wow.
Like, we did a barbecue pizza. We did all types of stuff. So, One Saturday, me and Jet, we sitting there because we would always have the guests on Sundays. We do film it every Sundays at the crib.
Yeah.
And we would usually have everything figured out at the beginning of the week, done our shopping, everything. Well, this particular week, we didn't have shit figured out. And we're sitting there on the couch and we're like, damn, dude, what are we going to do tomorrow? Like, we don't even know what we're going to do. And then I was like, man, yo, you know it'd be ill. It's like, if you could somehow, like, do chicken and waffles on a pizza, you know? And he was like, oh yeah, that would be cool. And then we just started like, at first we were like, nah, it wouldn't work though, cause how would you do the crust? And you know, we just started brainstorming, and then all of a sudden he would come with an idea, and I'd be like, oh yeah, that's kind of crazy. And I'd be like, well, I know on the sauce we could do it like this. And he'd be like, oh yeah, and what if you added this and give it that type of flavor? I'm like, yeah, but how would you make it real sweet? And then he'd be like, man, we could do a glaze and make it like, I'm like, oh shit. Before you know it, like, man, we gotta go get the ingredients and try it. So we did like a test run, whipped it up, and it was good. But then when we filmed it, it came out even better.
Nice.
And I remember Durong was there. He called his mom. He goes, mom, you won't even believe this shit. This nigga got a chicken and waffle pizza. It's the most fire shit I ever had. Like, I can't, you know. I was like,
what is the sauce on the chicken and waffle pizza?
It's a smoked Gouda based cheese sauce. That's all I can tell you right there.
Nice.
But yeah, that's what
Gouda cheese, the chicken and waffles. Is there syrup?
Yep.
Syrup glaze?
Yeah, so, and it's served with a side of syrup.
But nice. You can dip it with syrup. Yeah. Like ranch almost.
Uh-huh. And gotcha. There's a maple glaze that goes on the top, and the chicken is spicy.
Hold up. Oh.
So, you know, it's a combo.
I'll be putting my order in very soon.
And this sweet.
Chicken is kind of Chick-fil-A-ish to me.
Yeah.
And your pizza, chicken and waffle pizza, you know, obviously we've had it with our students at Decker several times. And
I have not had a slice.
I brought teens, and he was so kind to like take these brothers through the whole process and let them work on the dough and go through the whole process and ask questions and eat and everything, which was so dope. And I've ordered it, you know, just as a household. I mean, first of all, I just really want to support it because it's such an incredible endeavor.
Local
to
business,
friend. Somebody who's known you, you know, since through that whole story. But it tastes great, and it's got its own style. And I feel like it's not a tiny, flaky pizza. You know what I'm saying? It's not a hard pizza. It's not a floppy, like, it's just not light. So how did you develop the style of the way that you exactly wanted your pizza to come across? And how would you describe what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Don't understand as well.
It's a thick ass pizza.
Yeah.
That I'm
yeah, but it's more than that too. Like, yeah, it's thick, but it's not hard. Exactly, but it's a style.
Yeah, it is. It's like a gourmet type. I call it home style. So and I'm glad you asked that because it's kind of morphed into that. It's over time because you know, just like any other product, it has to get perfected. Nice. And so now it's got a consistency to it, and the chicken and waffle pizza is definitely what it is at this point. So I would describe it as a home style pizza because especially when you hit it with that syrup, it kind of like,
you remember the Black Eyed Pea? Remember that restaurant?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is that what home style? That
yeah, that's home style.
That's food. Home that's, style. Is that home style?
Is that kind of like Cracker Barrel for Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know the
Cracker Barrel's home style.
I would describe. Right? I would even say that the crusty is almost like a biscuit.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It definitely is. Because the thing about it is like, I want the. It's like I want to use the syrup, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and then other times I want to use like powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And then other times with the chicken, I damn near want to dab a ranch or something. You know, like something else.
Exactly. I've seen people do all kinds of stuff. There's a lot going
on that's able to harmonize in the chicken and waffle pizza.
Yeah. And a lot of people say that it hits crazy the next day, like the next morning. So, like, people eat it for breakfast. Like,
oh, it's going down. Especially that cheese. That'd be a great breakfast starter.
Yeah. How did you come up with that design of the home style? How'd you come up with
it? Well, it goes back to my roots, really, because, you know, you know, my family's from the Midwest, so, you know, you know that, so my style is like a combination between Midwest and like deep Southern style, because, you know.
Midwest, that, you know your cheeses?
Oh, for sure, you know.
I was about to say that Gouda is just not something Southern. That's
no, it's no, not. It's not. It's not.
Okay, so I just.
But I mix traditional there. Southern, you know what I'm saying, with what I would describe as like a Midwest soul style.
Okay.
And so that's where I come up with the home style because.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because I try to put soul into any type of foods that I prepare, no matter what. Like, I may, even if I'm doing an authentic cuisine that is not. American or anything like that, I'll put my own twist on it to, you know, make it soulful. And that's just, to me, that's how food is supposed to taste. Mm. All food is supposed to taste like comfort food, even if it's a salad.
Yes.
In my opinion. So, yeah, that's what it's about. And
That sounds like that pizza is hella comfortable.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's the two slice tap out is what
love
I
love that.
You know, most people can't eat more than two.
Well, good man. If you don't know, check out the slice. You guys got a website too, right?
No, right now we're just Instagram, Facebook with it. You know,
yes,
but
that's the new internet.
It's right? The slice DASLICEATX on both.
The slice ATX. Man, there's one more thing I want to talk about before we bounce, and that is the passing of a good friend of ours, is DJ Southpaw. And
R.I.P.
Yeah, rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
One, since we're talking about turn of the century, one of the very first memories, like me, is 1999, the summer of listening to the radio and his mixes. I think he even brought in and introduced DJs like Thinky D and other people.
Turn of the century.
Yeah, and just putting hip-hop on the radio when no one was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Playing hip-hop on 6th Street when no one was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if this show's called Hip Hop Grow Up and I don't shout that man out, you know, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah, he was playing it when it wasn't cool. It wasn't playing out of all the clubs. Somebody had to bring it there.
It was like punk rock music, and it was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, playing the clubs and the shows before it was a, you know, you would, you know, you go to a hip hop show downtown now, you expect it to be mostly white people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that originally, you know. He's a bridge between all of those generations all at one time.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I was in this, I'm with this, I'm with what it is now.
From probably bringing Run DMC here right. the first time to, like, making sure Drake was at Spiro's.
Exactly. You know
what I'm saying? Probably had his hand in all that, so shout out to all that.
Did Magic Video with Brother K for so many years on Access when people were watching Access.
Yes, Cable Access, Austin was awesome.
Man, I went from 88.7 to commercial. Looked out for Corrupt.
Yes.
A lot, you know, just...
Really good dude.
Solid, man. Solid, man. He spans the whole continuum of that hip-hop culture, as you said earlier, when you live in it.
Mm-hmm.
When we first asked you the question, he's definitely somebody who was living it to where if you had a relationship with him, then you were more connected to, I guess, what you were looking for from that experience, especially in the music. So he's a pioneer.
City hip-hop pioneer.
That's what a pioneer is.
Core DJ.
Yeah. Take you back to horseback. Riding, you know what I'm saying, all of that, building a tent out of a buffalo, all the way up to
you know, real pioneer.
Posting a tweet, a whole pioneer, the DJ Steve Galindo is a whole pioneer, man, a legend.
Shout out to you, man, and until next time, hip hop grew up.
Peace.